Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Showtime Radio Time. I am Sweets Rescue Rabbit back from the darkness. Sorry, I did not finish my thing. Broadcasting live to you in your sweet, beautiful ears, no matter how ugly you think they are. Yes, yes, I am back from the darkness, back from the non-technological world. The non-internet world. My gosh. Okay, so I was moving from my I was switching apartments in the same building pretty much 2 weeks ago. Or was it last week? I don't know. It just feels the same. I just know it was this month. Wait, no. It was 2 weeks ago. Okay. It feels like it was last week. But when I moved apartments, I had forgotten to call my phone and internet company, because it's the same company, weeks prior, and it turned out that they had no idea what was going on. So I have had to be without internet for like a week. Technically it's over a week. I can't say 2 weeks, but it certainly feels like it. It certainly felt like it, I should say. But, oh my gosh, intense, crazy, crazy intense. They had no idea what was going on, and the guy that gave me the, the first time someone successfully came to my apartment and I was here, that's what really bothers me, is that they had to come inside my apartment to figure it out. I kept thinking it was the building's fault. And technically, I suppose it is, but because nothing was wrong with the company's end, and there was nothing wrong on my end. But for some reason, so with that theory, with those facts, like, I figured it had to be the building. But I don't know. They kept saying they had to get inside my apartment. So the first time someone successfully came to my apartment while I was here, he gave me a new modem, but he did not actually connect it. Like, he didn't do anything to make sure it was synced. And he told me to call him so that he could come back. But he didn't leave me a phone number, and he didn't leave me any paperwork, which they're supposed to do. Or at least that's what I think they're supposed to do. So I ended up calling the same day and finding out that they never really got it fully connected or whatever. I don't remember the specific details, just because I've been stressed with work all week. But well, this week, I mean, that's why I can't remember. Hang on, I got. This is what happens from eating a banana. Jeez, I did not know that banana could create mucus. All right. Anyways, so I called them that day, the same day he came, and they figured they might as well try to send someone out again, just because the technician never really finished the situation. He actually kept that particular repair order continued, because he knew it would be a while before I could actually get my full internet connection, you know? And so the next tech that came over, it sounded like he knew what he was doing, but at the same time, he didn't. Because, like, he had to go through all the modems that he had brought with him, you know? And so he ended up giving me this brand spanking new one that the company made, and which is really weird. I mean, a particular company can make their own modems? what? It's so weird. So he ends up giving me this brand spanking new one that they made recently, and he got it synced, but he did not actually, like, make sure that my computer had internet. Because, I mean, according to the modem, it was, but according to my computer, it wasn't. So I figured, I mean, I kind of expected that, though, because I figured I had to call, you know, the company to make sure that what he had done was correct and make sure that they could connect that to my computer. Because pretty much, like, calling them back is pretty much something I have to do to make sure or to make them, you know, turn it on, connect it to my computer and all that. And because I didn't know, I didn't understand how to do it myself. I thought I'd be able to do it myself, but I couldn't figure out how to do it because I wanted to have my internet to have like a specific name and a specific password just because I don't want it to be the standard BS. So I decided to do that and I called them. It turned out the guy had no idea what he was doing, even though he gave me the sticker for the modem, you know. It turned out that particular tech, and the same tech, he wasn't the same tech from Saturday, but, because I would have remembered, you know, the guy would have remembered, he would have said, hi, I'm back, but, it was just really weird, super weird, whatever, man, okay, so, I think I'm talking a little too much about this. Let's go ahead and get to the book that you are tuning in for. Today is not a blabber tell-all of the craziness in my life. Oh. I really do need to talk to someone to vent. Or not talk to someone. I need to vent. I need to find someone that I can vent to. Not very many friends will let me do that. Except for my best friend, but I haven't seen her in ages. Hey. Call in. I know you're listening, best friend. Please. Anyways, call me soon. I'm pretty sure you're listening. Please, friend, I love you. Anyways, you guys are tuning in because I am doing a book reading. The book I have chosen for you all is called Not a Family Trait. I'm actually really looking forward to publishing this book someday. It's one of my absolute favorites, and it is not part of the Nessus World book set. Although there are some technically of how she gets her ability is along the line of the Nessus World book set, but it's not part of the actual book set. I'm actually considering two or three more books for the Nessus World book set, because, oh my gosh, I'm getting so many different ideas. Anyways, so the book that we're reading today is called Not a Family Trait. I started it 2 weeks ago, and because I missed last Friday's reading because of the darn internet, because of the down internet that I did not have, I think I'm going to do, like, another book reading probably. I actually don't know because I lost my paper calendar. I need to find it. I normally use my paper calendar to make sure I have everything done. Actually, I think I might see it. Anywho, I'll have to look for it later. Anywho, the book is called Not a Family Trait. Now I remember what my train of thought was. I'll probably do another book reading maybe this coming Wednesday, just to make sure you guys don't lose, just to make sure I don't lose time on getting this book done, because it would be awesome if I could get this book done in the month of October, because I've actually kind of already done the math of how long it would take me to read this book to you guys, and I want to make sure that it is done by October. That way, the next book I can read is a really creepy book that I wrote. It's actually also one that I finished this year. Oh my gosh, I've written so many books this year. It's incredible. It's incredible that I haven't lost my imagination yet. Anyways, sorry, book. Because I need to start reading soon. Wait. Oh, no, I need to start reading now. Shoot. Okay, well, I'll just go ahead and start. I should have talked about what I needed to get to you guys, but I didn't. Brackety doodles. Okay, so now the family trait, ghost story, Melissa. She is just a child, and she is about to have a birthday party. What's going to be there? Cheyenne wondered excitedly. Ponies in a bouncing castle? Melissa chortled. Okay, sometimes I don't get you two. I'm not as girly as you, you know. I would rather play soccer than watch Princess Sophia or whatever. Before eating lunch, her friends rolled their eyes. Melissa was thankful her last class happened to be math. Math always made her feel better. It didn't combine in a big mess like the words and letters. If Quinn ever paid attention to her difficulty, he would know she had dyslexia. That never affected her intelligence or her curiosity in learning. When she got home, she looked around for her family. No one seemed to be there, which confused her. Someone was always home. Dad? Miles? Melissa peered into the playroom. Paige? Kyler? Piper? She then walked to the backyard. After opening the back door, she gasped in excitement and squealed. Surprise! Everyone shouted. All of her friends, family, and their families stood around the backyard. Balloons had been weighed down, streamers set up all over the trees, the treehouse painted in black stripes and grass green, and a three-layered cake with soccer decorations. She loved everything.
But my birthday isn't till 10, she said happily.
For that present, you'll have to wait for the weekend, her dad said as he came up to her. Come on, blow out the candles before they melt into the cake. Walking up to the beautiful soccer cake, Melissa giggled. She closed her eyes, wished she could see her mother, and blew out the candles. Indeed, Morin was there. She couldn't have been more proud of Melissa. Once again, Paige and Piper saw her and crawled to their ghostly mother. Kyler saw the twins and picked them up.
Come on, you two, she whispered. It's playtime.
Mama,
the sisters said at the same time. By the time the party was over, it was past Melissa's bedtime. She received a lot of presents and loved everyone, even the girly stuff she normally wouldn't touch. Quinn objected when it came to gifts of makeup. He didn't think it appropriate, considering she'd be turning 11, not 15. She thought she could go to bed easy after a perfect evening. Melissa wanted to sleep. She tossed and turned under the blanket. Groaning, she shoved the blanket off and got out of bed. Melissa decided to walk around the house. She observed the second floor halls in great detail. That's when Melissa saw something sticking out of a wall. Kneeling to the floor, her hand rubbed against it until she touched the wall. She scraped a fingernail at their wallpaper. Without warning, a piece of paper fell out and somehow fluttered toward an open window. Melissa gasped before desperately trying to grab the paper. It got stuck in a branch, which happened to be 2 feet away from the window. She reached for it.
No! No, Melissa, don't!
Melissa didn't hear. Of course she couldn't. But Morin's cry of fear woke the twin babies. They cried for their sister rather than anything else a baby would. Melissa wanted to know what was on that paper, though. And as she reached for it, her knee slipped off the ledge. Her balance shook. With a gasp, she fell out of the window. Her scream only occurred in her mind while she fell. Feeling the sudden rush of air and wind, her heart raced before she landed on the ground with a thud. Her body ached, though not a bone was broken. After a few moments, her eyes closed. Melissa's mind wandered as she slipped into unconscious, dreaming what seemed to be unreal. Chapter 2, Angel is Angry. A woman stood over Melissa in the yard. She looked sad, with drooping blue eyes and a frowny little mouth. What a contrast it was to Melissa's comatose lily pad green eyes and full lips. The 11-year-old girl groaned as she slowly flipped to her back. She grunted, adjusting her position. Melissa ended in standing. When she saw Morin, she gasped in shock.
Mom?
Melissa ran to her and hugged her tight.
Why'd you leave?
I'm sorry, dear,
Morin whispered as she kneeled after pulling away.
I never wanted it, but it was time.
She sighed heavily. Heavily.
I was in too much pain.
Melissa hugged her again.
Melissa?
She said with a light, stern tone.
What is it, Mommy?
She looked her in the eyes like Morin did. Her mom gave a serious expression.
I don't like that look, Mom. What is it? You need to wake up, dear. You're not ready.
Wake up? Not ready? What are you talking about?
It's time to wake up.
Wake up, Melissa. She snapped her fingers and her daughter gasped.
Wake up.
Melissa wheezed as her eyes opened wide. She glanced around quickly, trying to find her mom. Melissa didn't understand the dream she had or why. As she sat up, the paper stuck in the branch finally loosened and floated down to her. The paper landed in her lap. Spotting it, she looked down. Melissa picked it up to read. Well, as best as she could.
Rendezvous. I'm sorry you overheard. I never wanted you to find out like this. But no use angry with me. I understand. It make me sad to see you family so desperate to take drastic actions. I only want to help. Be safe. Be happy. Sincerely, Angel. Oh, and don't worry. That Daddy Finn will always hold the key.
Weird. Why would this note be stuck under wallpaper?
Shaking the thought out, Melissa stood and rubbed the grass clippings and dirt off her nightgown. She walked into the kitchen after entering the back door. It surprised her when she found her dad there. He was feeding the twins. After they had awakened, Quinn took them out of their cribs. To see Melissa walking in startled him.
What are you doing up so late? And what were you doing out there?
I thought I saw something. Wanted to check if I was right.
The twins wake you too?
He raised a brow at her.
No,
she said, shaking her head. She shrugged.
Trouble falling asleep. You know, too perfect of a night.
That's right. I bet all those slices of cake are making you feel giddy.
He chuckled, recalling that she had 5 big slices.
You sure that's not going to affect your soccer kick?
No way,
she said with a big smile.
And I'm actually feeling a bit tired now.
Her face fell in shock when her baby sisters started cooing and giggling. She saw Morin making funny faces at them.
Is your daddy not watching?
Morin squeaked happily.
Isn't he the cutest when he worries?
Mama,
one of the babies spoke.
That's all they seem to say now. Quinn sighed.
I think I know why.
Melissa whispered, staring at her mom. Morin didn't notice, nor did she hear her.
Mom?
Her body then flashed like a TV screen before popping in front of Melissa. Morin gave her big, surprised eyes.
You can see me?
She squeaked hoarsely. Melissa nodded slowly.
But how? Dad?
She called softly.
Yes?
He turned to her, still holding one of the babies.
Are you all right? You look like you've seen a ghost.
Paige and Piper laughed excitedly.
Go to bed, Millie Belly. You got practice tomorrow.
Yes, Daddy,
she whispered. While she headed to her room, she listened to her mother talking to her. The entire room she felt, the entire time she felt panicked about the situation. Wasn't her mom supposed to be in heaven? What kept her earthbound? What would her friends think?
Oh, this is so exciting. I finally get to talk to my older daughter. Talking to the twins for months have made me think I was the only one crazy. I can finally help you with your reading. Reading?
Melissa stopped walking to face her.
What are you talking about?
You think all I did was talk to the babies?
I see everything, dear. I can do a lot more than you. But besides, I had trouble too. Dyslexia runs in the family, sweetie.
Melissa narrowed her brows.
This what now?
Her mother laughed.
Oh, dear. I should have told you when I realized how slow you were in English.
She kneeled down.
When I was younger than you, all I could see in those books and the chalkboard were gibberish and junk. The words and letters looked different to me than to a typical kid would. It drove me nuts, and I told my parents right away. I should have told you,
she whispered.
I was nervous, though. I know, but now you have to tell Dad. You promise?
Melissa nodded as her mom smiled. Morin glanced... Jeez, why am I stuttering today? Morin glanced away from her and saw something.
Wow,
she whispered in awe.
What?
Melissa asked, looking in the same direction.
I don't see anything.
Morin glanced back at her dearly.
I love you, Melissa. Tell your brother and Kyler the same, and to look out for each other. And it's also time for you to see Grandma. Your dad will understand when you tell him.
As she walked off, she blew her a kiss.
Wait, the dream! I told you that you weren't ready. And now I see why. Save them, sweetie. Help them make peace like you did with me.
She smiled while a tear rolled down her cheek.
I'm so proud of you.
As she faded away, her words echoed. Melissa's eyes were wide after she saw her mom leaving.
Don't leave me,
she whispered. Morin did, going into the light to cross over. Melissa never wanted to believe it. She thought it couldn't happen. Numbly, she walked into her room and slipped under the blanket. Melissa scrunched her knees to her chest, crossed her arms around them, and cried. Tears poured from her eyes. She cried herself to sleep. The next morning, she never felt so empty. Her mom was really gone. She wouldn't see her anymore. The thought terrified her even more than the funeral of her mother. It made her want to stay under the covers and not come out. Melissa acted like a robot. She moved when needed. Hardly ever answered when a teacher picked her. It worried the teachers and her friends. They wanted to know what caused her to be like that.
Did something happen at home, dear?
The principal asked.
Is your father hurting you in any way?
That snapped Melissa into place. Her neck turned so abruptly that it popped. Her eyes widened in shock.
No, he would never,
she whispered hotly.
Dad would never hurt me, Garrison.
It stayed quiet for a few moments before Melissa replied. And I am actually checking how much time I have left. It looks like I actually have a minute. So I think I'm just going to... I wonder if I should read a little more. No, because it's like perfect of where to stop there. Oh my gosh. What a read. What a rush. That's actually a lot of info dump. That is a lot of info dump and a lot of action too. So much happens. Man. So did you guys get all that? Okay, so remember there is a show on Monday, our Dancing Monday. Hopefully I'll figure out what holiday I'm going to support and what music to use. And of course, Wednesday and Friday will be book readings. So I'm going to go ahead and bid you all adieu. I hope you all have a great morning, afternoon, evening, or night, wherever you are in the world. I am Sleepy Rascally Rabbit, saying goodbye with Fly by Hilary Duff. Yes, I said Hilary Duff. Bye, everyone.